Let us prepare our hearts for the scripture reading through prayer. Holy and eternal God, grant us this morning new eyes and new ears. May we hear and obey your words of wisdom, and may we see and really understand your purpose for us. Grant us the courage to follow in the steps of your Son, and give us the strength to deny ourselves for others, as he denied himself for us. Amen. The scripture reading is from Genesis 37, 1 to 4, and 12 to 28. Let us listen for the word of God. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien in the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper of the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to them, to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him. They could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now and see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring back word to me." So he sent him to the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields and asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said, "and tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" And the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. They saw him coming from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill and throw him into one of the pits, and we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what becomes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of the hand, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into one of the pits here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands and restore him to their father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And then they sat down to eat, and looking, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels and carrying gum and balm and resin on their way to carry down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit us if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us take him to the Ishmaelites and not lay hands on him, for he is our brother, he is of our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianites traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. This was the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our scripture reading, gospel lesson, comes to us from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. Let us listen to the word of God. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them, and early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's this scene in Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail where Indiana comes to this cliff at the end of this movie, and in his father's research, it tells him to take a leap of faith. And he can see to the other side, but if he takes a step, it looks as though he'll plummet to his death down thousands of feet below. He hesitates for a few seconds, wonders if he should take the leap. And that's when he hears his father in the distant, groaning in pain, calling. So he closes his eyes and steps out into midair. And a few seconds later, he steps onto this invisible optical illusion of a bridge. He takes a sigh of relief and takes a step back and throws sand over this bridge because he can't believe it. He discovers this illusion. Similarly, when Peter asked Jesus to walk on water, it's quite a leap of faith. He had to have quite a bit of guts to even ask Jesus to walk on water. I'm sure he was amazed when he did it, especially those first few steps. This impossible thing turned into a possibility. Certainly, we can understand the Son of God, Jesus Christ, doing something like this. Even they were perplexed and surprised and scared. But a regular human being, Peter, is walking on water. When he's standing on water, he must have been at peace. Peter had to fully rely on God and Jesus to make that first step. There wasn't any movie magic or illusion like in Indiana Jones. This was the impossible leap of faith onto that water. We've got to give Peter props to even attempt something like he did. I've heard from many of you at times in your lives when you've taken a step, that leap of faith, where you did the impossible. All those moments you had full confidence in Jesus, or sometimes utter shock that it's actually happening. However, it takes a whole lot of faith to keep it up. Our problem, probably like Peter's, is when we see those strong winds coming, when we feel those strong winds blowing, things are going just fine, then these strong winds come, waves start crashing, and that's when we discover, much like Peter, that we have no business doing the impossible in the first place. We're certainly living in times of strong winds and waves. In fact, we've been living this way for years. In the United States, we've been through a recession. For Illinois, it's been brutal these past few years. Wondering if the state was ever going to pass the budget. There was this tragedy in Charlottesville, a president waging words of war with North Korea, and the waves seem to be crashing. The wind seems to be blowing. And then we also have stresses in our personal lives. Maybe it's illness or not being able to sleep. Maybe you're anxious. Things are changing. You have anxiety, maybe some burnout. Maybe you're caring for aging parents. And at times, it can feel like those waves are crashing all around you. The strong winds are blowing. And the moment we stepped out into this water with faith, it seems like the strong winds and waves of uncertainty can crash all around us. Now, the trouble for Peter is he focuses on the strong winds and the waves, and that's the moment he starts sinking. I think this is what happens to us. When we want to be in control in our lives and in the church, especially over things we can't control or even things we try to control, and we cling to that control, then we start to get anxious and overwhelmed and stressed. When we realize that we aren't actually in control, we start to panic and we sink deeper and deeper and deeper in our faith that was once confident is now in panic mode. I recently saw this video on Facebook of a woman telling her story. Her name was Christina. She was recently divorced. She didn't have a job, and she was living on food stamps. She was taking care of two toddlers, and she was really, really depressed, she said. She said, I found myself sort of obsessed with my own misery. And the only way that she could think to get out of it was to volunteer. And that would make her think of other people, maybe. She called every place she could think of in her area, homeless shelters, soup kitchens, children's hospitals. If she could volunteer, she could get out of this horrible place she was in. She was already down, but she got rejected at every volunteer agency she called. And the reason they rejected her, because she couldn't afford a babysitter, and no homeless shelter was going to take toddlers. It just wasn't feasible. And then one night, she couldn't sleep, and she was crying. She was thinking, even when I felt like a complete loser, is there something little, tiny, that I can still do? The only thing she could think of was this. I know how to cook a great meal on a very little bit of money. So she sent an email to all her friends in the area and said, every Wednesday, I'm going to feed people. If you know anyone who needs a free meal, maybe they're struggling financially, or if you know someone who's lonely, maybe it's an elderly person who just lost their spouse, whatever the need is, I don't care. Bring them to my apartment on Wednesday nights. I'm going to feed people. So when the first Wednesday night arrived, she went to the dollar store, ready to buy food for a crowd. She spent some of her food stamps on the food. That's when she started panicking. All these negative thoughts started pouring in. Why would anyone show up to my place? Why would my friends bring people? They'd probably be embarrassed. You're depressed, Christina. Your life is a mess. No one's going to expect you to be able to offer something. She started acting like Peter. She started acting like many of us would, grasping to control something she was totally out of control, and negativity started creeping in. Even when we're not depressed, you and I can feel inadequate. We can feel worthless. Remember when Peter saw the waves and the wind, he starts panicking and he begins to sink and he's going deeper and deeper into the water. And the only thing he can do is call out to Jesus in desperation. And when Peter does, according to the text, Jesus reaches out his hand immediately to help Peter. It's as though he knew Peter was going to call out to him, and he was just waiting for those words to come out of Peter's mouth. Help, Jesus. And immediately, he grabbed onto him. Similarly, this woman, she was at the store buying the food and panicking. She called out in desperation, but after she gets home and cooks her meal, The time came and people started coming. Complete strangers started walking into her apartment, letting her feed them. She fed 10 strangers on her tiny little budget in her tiny little apartment with her tiny little kids. She says, I will never forget closing the door after that last person left and just sobbing. It wasn't tears of misery and desperation. I was like a little girl experiencing my first glimmer of hope. Certainly life was still hard and she was still sad and there were lots of struggles to deal with, but she no longer felt defeated. And she said, even when life feels like a crazy, chaotic mess, if I focus on the little things that I do have and can do, I can turn it into something bigger than I ever expected. I think that's what God calls us to do. That's what we need to do. Focus on what's right in front of us. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Instead, we tend to only see the things surrounding us, like the wind and the waves, all the uncertainty around us. Maybe sometimes it's when we're at our lowest, or when we're like Peter, dripping wet, panicking, or about to drown, when we realize that we aren't in control. I've certainly experienced it, and sometimes it takes all that for us to call out to Jesus. But we know Jesus will help us immediately, either way, especially during difficult times when there's lots of strong winds and waves, even in the times we're facing today. That moment we call out for help, the moment we admit that we're not in control, the moment we recognize that we need help, Jesus will immediately reach out your hand and rescue us. God has given each one of us something that we're good at. Don't focus on the things you can't do. Do the thing you can. Even if it sounds impossible, especially if it's something small or simple, Jesus can turn it into something bigger than we can even imagine. And the truth is, if we step out in faith, when we walk on water, we never were in control. It's not until we get wet a few times, probably a lot of times, when we realize what faith really means. When we realize we're not in control, but that God is, until then, the waves might distract us, but they don't have to. We simply need to lean on God for strength. We can call out to the church or to Jesus for help. And much like Peter and much like this woman, there are glimmers of hope when we focus ahead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.